Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Today's show is brought to you by AdamandEve.com. Go to AdamandEve.com right now and you'll get 50% off just about any item. All you have to do is enter the code word GLORY, G-L-O-R-Y, at checkout.
Hi, Tom and Cecil. It's Graham Todd from Richmond, Virginia. So I was coming through the back catalog the other day, and I landed on episode 279. Where it was Brian Fisher talking about the vapor canopy that allowed Methuselah to live to 960, plus years old. And I was a born-again Christian for a very long time. I was evangelical. I bought right in because I didn't know any better. And one of the apologetics that they put on us was that, that back in the day, there weren't preservatives in food and there wasn't pollution, so people were able to live longer. And I just wanted to say, despite what happened with King Dipshit becoming our president-elect, you guys always make me smile and you never fail. So, glory hole.
Hey, Tom and Cecil. My name is Marie. I'm from California. I'm a longtime listener. I just wanted to say that the past two episodes, you guys have been absolutely hilarious. The reason I called is, Cecil, your impassioned reading of Donald Trump's tweet about Hamilton and about how the theater needs to be a safe and special place. I was dying laughing, and I never actually LOL. So, great job, guys. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode 328. Cecil is just shaking his head. He's already shush. He's over there already doing this little like back and forth like, no, why?
You just read like the first couple lines of a story and you're just like, what the fuck is happening?
We are. I mean, again, it's skeptical. It's political. So yeah. We are going to have some political stories. We also have some very not political stories. Yeah. So we got some feedback from some of you that say, hey, we really love the political stuff that you guys are doing. We got some feedback that says, we really don't love the political stuff you guys are doing. Huh. It's in the intro.
And it's always been. So,
and it's never not been the case.
It's never
right?
not been there.
So we are going to talk about this first story. Comes from the New York Daily News. The alt-right movement goes full Nazi as Steve Bannon prepares to enter the White House. Now, Steve Bannon was recently appointed as the chief strategist for Trump.
Street's chief strategist. What were we playing? Axis and Allies?
he's trying to negotiate with on Civ. Like, it's just, he shows up. You're just like, do I have to pay you tribute?
Yeah,
like,
okay. All work? Right. Fine. We'll just go with fascism then.
Right.
We'll just choose that as our culture. We'll just go with fascism, religious fascism. How's that?
Maybe that's how this all happened. Maybe that none of this is really happening. Maybe it's still 4:30 in the morning. And like we're all just bleary eyed, sharing the same dream, and they're just like one more turn,
one more turn.
See, my city's this one's about fucking necropolis over here,
the
city of the dead that we're all gonna live in now. It's about to level up. I don't know how many settlers I can build. Yeah. I don't know how many, but I'm gonna need as many as possible to get the fuck out of here.
That was the only video game joke I could make.
I know.
That's the only game I've ever played.
And it wasn't even that good.
I like Civ. Oh, the joke.
Yeah. That's what I was talking about. I know. Civ's an amazing game.
I know. The joke was shit.
So
this fucking guy, Steve Bannon. Let's talk a little bit about Steve Bannon.
I want to talk real quick, though. Let's rewind for a second.
All right.
I want to talk about this article from The Atlantic, and I'll put it in the notes. The article's Hail Trump, White Nationalists Salute the President-Elect. And what happened was is at this white nationalist rally that just happened in Washington, D.C., in a government building, they had this guy by the name of Richard Spencer, who has been banished from Twitter. He recently got banished. And now, granted, it's only 200 people, right? There's only 200 people.
Why
here,
are there 200
right?
people?
No, but
I know you say only,
only
but I'm
200
just like,
people, ugh. Right? You're in the mid, but here's what I don't get, right? My whole life up until 2 weeks ago, every racist, every Nazi is somebody who just got out of prison, right? Somebody who is, you know, some asshole who's waving a flag. You know, once in a while, you'll get somebody who's like, you know, a kind of quasi-normal people. But normally, they're just face tattoo people, right?
Yeah, right.
Where you're just like, you're just a garbage person. You have nothing. Like, you're just like you're just a rejection of everything.
Open racist.
Yeah, open racist.
Open racist, right?
And I'm not going to say there haven't been racists.
Right.
That,
no, no.
I think you're right. I have to clarify my language here. Open racist, since I've been a young man, since I've been a baby, right, have been...
The worst skinheads. Of the worst.
They're skinheads, right? Yeah. They're garbage people. Right. Like, you see them and you're just like, you're an awful human being. Yeah. And you exude awful because I can see it on you. I can see you're not afraid of it, but I also can see it on you.
They're proud of their horrifyingness, right? And they're easy to dismiss because they're in small numbers.
Yeah.
And they broadcast who they are.
Yeah.
And everybody sees them as, like you said, they're just garbage human beings.
Yeah.
It's like, nobody cares. You don't need, like, you have a fucking meaningless, shitty job and a meaningless, shitty existence surrounded
no job
by meaningless,
at all.
Shitty
you're like,
people.
You're reporting your parole officer or whatever you're doing with your life. Like,
you're literally worthless. You're
going to
die of a fucking meth addiction before you're 35.
You're a terrible human being.
Nobody cares.
You're just advertising.
Right.
Right.
You're the kind of person that rolls over on a baby in their sleep.
Yeah.
Like, that's
like
what you
purposefully.
Are. Right. Yeah.
But like you see this, what alarms the shit out of me. Mm-hmm. Is that there's a room full of suits.
Yeah, I know.
These are a room full of suits. These are people
who have
been racist for a long time. But now what's changed for them to be able to get pictures taken of them with their hand raised in the air in a Sieg Heil salute? What's changed?
Well, let me make it worse. It's worse than that. I'm going to make it worse than that, Cecil. 70 years ago... These same motherfuckers at least had the good graces to don a shameful fucking hood, right? And
hide who they were.
70 years ago, these motherfuckers knew that this was repugnant enough to hide their face from the world.
Yeah.
Because this is awful.
Yeah.
Because this is repellent, disgusting, reprehensible behavior. Now, they don't even have the grace to hide themselves.
Yeah.
Because they can come out into the world as an open racist. Think about building an openly racist society.
Or
accepting it.
And the thing is like, yeah, that's it. It's like, I'm not saying that Trump is doing that, right? Yep. But there is something that's happened in the past couple weeks that has allowed this to happen. Now, I know what people are going to tell me, right? If you're a Trump supporter, what you're going to say is, well, now you're just reporting it. It's always been happening. Or now the media is focusing on it. But I've never heard of one happening in D.C. I've never heard of like a...
At the Ronald Reagan building?
Like a racist fucking little meetup that has happened at that D.C. You know what I mean? Well, like fucking...
You know, so let me counterpoint that a little bit.
Racist con or whatever.
Neocon.
Neocon.
That's great. The counterpoint to that would be that there's always been, you know, the KKK has had rallies.
Sure.
And they've organized and they've done these things. But that's the KKK, right? Like you said, these are garbage people. And like I was referring to before, like for the most part, They were either the degenerates that you knew were degenerates, right? That you were, they were easy to dismiss because they're just, you know, they're fucking picking cans out of the garbage.
You're marching on your trailer park. Right. Like, who cares? Light on fire.
It doesn't matter.
Nobody cares about you.
Or they're wearing their fucking hoodie hood, right? Because they know that they should be ashamed of this behavior. This is a confluence of terrifying events, right? Yeah. This is people who appear to have, you know, some wealth, and wealth, let's not pretend otherwise. Wealth is power.
Yeah.
Do not ever pretend otherwise. Yeah. Money is power. That's why people want it.
Yeah.
Right? So these are people who appear to have some level of significant wealth, which means they have some level of social standing and power, and they're not afraid to be openly racist.
And what he says when he says this, he says, "Hail Trump, hail our people, hail victory," and then he does a Nazi salute from the stage, and people mirror the Nazi salute back to him. And this is an entire room full of white men. And then there's pictures of them afterwards at other places at Maggiano's in fucking D.C. where there's three people doing the Heil Hitler salute. And they got a picture taken. And it's like,
you can't pretend that's not racist.
Like, we can't pretend it's not racist. We can't pretend it's not repugnant. We can't pretend that those people don't support Trump. Like, we can't pretend any of that stuff. And I know what people are going to come back with. If you're a Trump supporter, again, the other thing you come back with is, well, Hillary's a racist because one time she kissed a racist on the cheek and here's a fucking picture of it or whatever.
Or you can't control your supporters, right? You can't control who supports you.
Well, that's one thing. But I'm not even going to get into that yet. Hillary's not in the race anymore. So, you know, when we say Trump's a liar, and it's demonstrable that he's a liar, don't come back with, well, Hillary's a liar. Because that's a garbage. Who cares? It's a stupid argument. Hillary's not in power. So it doesn't matter, right? None of that stuff matters anymore. What matters is that he's the president. And if he's a liar, if he's inciting racist, if he's doing this stuff, you've got to contend with that. You can't just go back to Hillary now. She's not running against him anymore.
That ship has sailed,
it's
right?
It's done. It's over. That argument's over.
And I'll counter my previous objection, because I know we're going to hear it, right? You can't control who supports you, right? But if Trump appoints people to positions of power that are demonstrably racist,
or at least Steve Bannon, right? That's right? We're rolling this back to Steve Bannon.
Then you don't get to distance yourself anymore from those supporters, right?
Yeah.
So you no longer get to have the credibility of distance, right? So if somebody says, and because I would want that, if out there somebody listening to my voice is like, I really like Tom, and it turns out they're a fucking awful person, right?
Yeah.
I'd be like, well, fucking, I have nothing to do with that. I mean, nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
But if I hire that person and then befriend that person, and then I know everything about what that person stands for, and they're busy building an organization that's built on hate, and I fucking know it, and I'm still like, I'm down with that guy.
Yeah.
Well, then the distance is fucking gone. It's evaporated. Poof. It's not there anymore.
Yeah, I mean, if Megan was a fucking neo-Nazi.
Which she may be. We're going to meet her.
She is.
She said she wasn't in the interview.
I've seen all her Facebook pictures. They're all swastikas.
That's eyebrow makeup. She's like a swastik cholo. She's like a cholistica. I don't know if that's a thing.
That is a thing you just made up. No, but like
that would be great to see somebody cholified with swastikas. It'd be so confusing.
So we have a guy who's popularized the term alt-right by the name of Spencer, and now we have the alt-right movement. Bannon has created a place and openly bragged that he has said that this is a platform, Breitbart is a platform for the alt-right.
Yeah.
These things are connected. It's not that they're not connected, man. It's that they're fucking interwoven.
And we're not talking InfoWars connected, right? Like, so let's be real here, too. Like, this isn't some series of, like, crazy connections that you gotta, like, and then it was chemtrails.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's not like that. Yeah. It's like, here's what he said. Here's what Bannon said. He's referring to Breitbart. He turned it into the platform of the alt-right movement. He said it in July.
Yeah. People may come back and say again, well, you know, this alt-right isn't neo-Nazism. Well, what is it then, right? Because this guy who's having like an alt-right conference
is throwing up the fucking Heil sign.
Yeah.
Like that. How many times have you thrown the Hitler salute?
I only do that around Eli.
Right. Well, that doesn't count.
Okay.
He likes that. I don't know why. It turns him on.
He puts his little finger in front of his,
it's
nose.
It's a fetish thing at that
and
point.
He's like,
that's fine.
Throw it again. Throw it again. Throw it again.
I'm almost there.
Call me Mein Fuhrer.
Can we do it in the shower?
Only once.
The Holocaust is hilarious.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit. Let's, even if you give Trump all the benefit of the doubt in the world, even if you gave him all the benefit of the doubt and said, okay, well, he didn't know. Well, you know now. You know now. And there's no repudiation, right? There's no repudiation. There's not even a comment, as far as I'm aware, by the Trump camp saying, you know, Bannon is not. There is no attempt to bridge that gap. And there's no attempt to bridge that gap because he wants this group on his side.
Yeah.
That's what he needs. He wants this group on his side. They helped him ride, did not entirely, but they helped him ride the wave to victory, which I can't even fucking stomach saying, but they did. So he has to continue to court this crowd. That is deeply unsettling, right? Because now it's not just, well, he said all that shit to get elected. Or he didn't create distance between these racist groups to get elected. But now that he's elected, we'll see what he's really going to do. Well, here's what he's really going to do.
Yeah.
What he's really going to do is get the fucking Breitbart guy to be his fucking chief strategist.
Yeah.
Well, it's not good. This is not good news.
I'm just worried about the world that I'm in now. You know, I grew up my whole life. Racism was a shame thing. You didn't do that in the open. And if you did, you were just a person who people just passed off as no one.
Right.
Now you're doing it in the middle of the hub of our government of the United States.
Are we normalizing
in
racism?
In an open forum. I mean, in a place where, you know, somebody came into there and got their little Nazi tag or whatever that they had to wear on a little fucking lanyard.
On the lanyard for the weekend.
Whatever. It's not a Nazi tag, but still, like, they went to an alt-right conference.
So let me ask honestly, like, do you think this is step one in normalizing racism, reintegrating racism as a legitimate? As a legitimate conversation point in our society?
I think that what we're seeing right now with the resurgence of swastikas and all that stuff, I don't know who's doing it, right? Yeah. I don't know who's doing it. I'm going to wait until this guy and his followers, the alt-right / neo-Nazis that are out there, I'm going to wait until they go out there and start doing it on purpose, right? When they start doing it on purpose and claiming it like jihadists do, you know what I mean? When they say we did this, then I'll start paying attention to it. But right now, what I'm seeing is, you know, swastikas that are being put around. But, you know, I don't know who's doing it. You know what I mean? Like, there are people from the left who might do it to themselves. That happens sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah,
that happens where people are anxious for attention. And then they also want to incite. So then they just decide to do this. And then they fuck up their own property because it doesn't matter to them as long as they get the attention for it. That happens. I'm not saying it's happening all the time. And I know
but it could be happening, right? They want
it could
the fucking
be happening.
Upvotes, right? Yeah.
So I don't know until, you know, something comes out. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think the difference is that what I want to see happen is every time that gets reported to the police, every single time that gets, you know, there's some record of that happening so that we can start looking at it and being like, where are the hate crimes before Trump came in and where are the hate crimes afterwards? You know, what is our benchmarks before and what are our benchmarks afterwards? Because I want to know a year from now if hate crimes went up.
But even if hate crimes don't go up, isn't it terribly problematic just to normalize this kind of behavior? Just to, like, you know, if 50 or 60 or 70 years ago people had to wear a hood in order to walk in order to, you know, be racist in their fucking racist convention in the middle of the fucking sticks, and now they're renting out a room in the Ronald Reagan building, you know, and like you said, now they're having a fucking convention at the fucking hotel down the street, and now they're the guys who are no longer afraid. You know, we've talked about this in the past, and as a white male in the world, when everybody kind of clears the room, sometimes you find yourself in a position, I know it's happened to me, and I suspect it's happened to you, we've talked about this, where people just start getting honest about their racism, right?
Sure, sure.
And then you have that moment where you don't know exactly how to respond to it. At least I've had that moment.
Yeah.
Sometimes
I know how I'm going to respond to it from now on, right?
Well, I've responded both directions. I've pushed back, and sometimes I've been off put. I've pushed back and I've been off put. I've been quiet before.
I have too.
When I shouldn't have been quiet.
I have too. When there's guys, you know, fixing your washer.
That's exactly
like,
what I mean,
right? Get the fuck out of here. You know, you don't do that. You're like, well, my washer's apart.
Right.
I'd like you to put my washer back together.
Right.
you know? So you're kind of in a bind, right? You got to hear this guy out because you're fucking, you know, your refrigerator compressor hose is off. And, you know, now this guy is already fucking ass deep into your middle of, you know, your repair.
I had a coach at my gym who, you know, he was one of my coaches. He's somebody I saw 3 days a week, 4 days a week. You know, whenever I took that class, I had this guy. And when it was just us guys around that he felt comfortable and safe with, he would get raw about his racism. But he would wait. Even that guy who had a fucking IQ of a fucking brain-damaged chimpanzee, even that fucking guy had the fucking good sense to wait until he felt safe, right? Yeah. Now, he felt safe around me because I'm just another white guy, right?
Yeah.
And I called him out on it, and then he never did again. But...
Well, he didn't do it around you.
He didn't do it around me, right?
That guy
he
knew never that stopped being a racist.
Because
right?
what I did is I detonated his safe place, right? And so he's like, okay, no, you know, I can't do it here. But I have also in other cases not done it, like you've said. That said, like, now is he going to be, is he going to push back on me? Because when I called him out, he stopped, right? Because he knew, oh, I can't do that. That's not cool. I can't do it. Now is it going to be, I call him out, he calls me right back out.
Yeah.
And now I don't have the surety calling him out, and I'll fucking do it anyway, especially in today's world now, right? I think it's more important.
Definitively now.
But now I'm going to look around that room and I'm going to wonder, how many people am I going to have to fight about this with?
Yeah.
Right? Because before, if I was in a group of six people and one person said some stupid racist shit and I call him out, I feel pretty confident,
it's
right?
It's 5-1.
It's 5-1. But is it going to be 5-1 the other direction now or 3-2? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Are we reigniting this this world where we can be openly racist? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't want to get alarmed about it because, like I said, it's only 200 people, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to get alarmed about it. I don't want to get alarmed about it because it's like, you know, I don't know how many people are in this movement.
Yeah,
but you've got to look at it and say, if the president is saying, president-elect is saying, let's get this guy on board, and he's a mouthpiece for this terrible group of people. You know, Breitbart doesn't have 5 viewers.
Right.
While some of those things may be fake that I said earlier, those, you know, the swastikas, some of them may be trolls, right? So it's a kid who's just like, he just got a can of spray paint and he's spraying up, you know, the neighbors,
sure,
whatever.
Right.
He doesn't believe in racism or whatever, but he's just being a dick. He's just being an
he's
asshole.
Trying to get
just,
reactions, yeah.
He's just fanning the flames. That's a possibility. Or it's somebody who is a racist, but isn't necessarily a Nazi, right? Not somebody who's an organized racist. They're just, they just have racist tendencies and they just want to try to hurt you. And how they hurt you is by showing a racist image that is of a symbol that is synonymous with racism. And then there are real racists. There are real people out there who clearly think that putting, you know, the swastika on stuff is, you know, that's how they, that's their calling card.
Yeah.
There's a lot of degrees in there, right? Of people who are doing stuff, you know? So I don't know where to put all the people in there because I don't know who's doing all the work because this is all shit that's getting done under the cover of darkness now.
Right.
But as time goes on, we're going to see a lot less of it under the cover of darkness. And if if we do, you know, then we'll have a better idea of how deep racism permeates the country. But it's a sad, sad day when somebody like this can just stand there in the open without a fucking hood on his head and throw up a fucking Zeke Heil.
Because in an age where... there's so much active misinformation, and it's packaged very well, and it looks the same when you see it on a Facebook page or you turn on your television.
Let's talk, Tom, too, just to really quickly, and I don't want to, this will probably be the last bit, well, not the last bit on Trump, but certainly the last bit on, you know, sort of what's going on right now. Facebook was also talking, and since we're talking about Breitbart, let's talk about Facebook a little bit. Facebook is talking about, they're getting a backlash right now because they're suggesting that they take fake news articles and label them as such, right? So in fake news sources, and because people are just sharing that stuff. They're just sharing it and there's nothing in it. It's garbage stuff and it doesn't matter. As long as you get in front of their eyes, you can have people... you can have people share it and then they share it with other people and they don't pay attention to what's in the story. And I want to bring people's attention to a story that was sent to us. it was sent to us on Twitter and it's
from InfoWars.
It's from InfoWars.
Don't go to it.
Someone sent this to us and to their credit, they said, I hope this isn't true when they sent it to us. And they're trying to get us to talk about whether or not blocking ambulances is a good idea if you're a protester. And I don't want to get into that fight right
now. We've been on that road
a bunch of times.
The road was blocked by an ambulance.
Yeah, it was blocked. We died en route to the hospital. They revived us and then told us about the argument, and then I killed myself afterwards.
You've gotten better.
So, yeah, I'm in recovery right now. But so InfoWars posts this story, and it's report anti-Trump protesters block ambulance, father of a four-year-old girl dies. Now, I want to read that again and pay attention to the wording. Report anti-Trump protesters block ambulance, father of four-year-old girl dies. Now, the report they have, the quote at the top is, I had a patient die because our ambulance was stopped by protesters. The report that they have for this is a blurred out screenshot of a Facebook message. That's right. Their quote.
That's their evidence.
Report. That's the evidence of this.
Right.
And it says, and the story says, I'll read exactly what the Facebook post says. It says, I have to un-Facebook for a few days. I had a patient die during a transfer last night because our ambulance was stopped by protesters and had to drive an extra 45 minutes around the block roads. I can't today. They can give their fucking safety pins to my patient's fatherless four-year-old daughter. And then it's just another sad face. Now, that was posted a couple days ago. This was posted on the 15th. This person reports it as if it's a real story, right?
As if
it's news, right. As if it's news on InfoWars. And then underneath, they talk about safety pins are about, and then they talk about some anti-Trump protesters shutting down a highway and someone being hit by a car. And so they show them being hit by a car, and that's at the bottom here. But if you were just skimming this article, let's say you just showed up here and you looked and it says report anti-Trump protesters block an ambulance, a four-year-old girl dies. You look, it looks like there's some sort of quote there and you're like, wait, there's a quote? And then you scroll down, you're like, there's a video? Share. Right. You know what I mean? Like, yep. Like, but the video has nothing to do with what, I mean, not nothing to do with this particular.
The video, in fact, is kind of the other side of the equation.
Exactly, right?
Right? But like you said, people don't read the article.
Yeah.
They expressly don't read the article.
I mean, if you look at the comments, I had to scroll down, you know, dozens and dozens of comments to find one person who was willing to say, I don't think this is real.
Yep.
Instead, we have people who, they're talking again. This is the tu quoque stuff where they're like, we've seen protesters pull people from vehicles and beat them senseless. And you're like, no, that was just a couple of random thugs on the sidewalk. Yeah, that's totally
nothing
different
to do with
thing.
The protests.
And then it's, you know, they're talking about Soros. They're talking about, you know, and the thing is like, this isn't the only place that I found these comments. Everywhere I followed this story around and I found out that it was posted in other sites, linking it to this InfoWars page as if it was a real story, as if it was true, as if it was a thing that happened. And so dozens and dozens of these stories are popping up in other places, referring back to this. This got posted to Facebook 107,000 times.
Which is 107,000 people that don't look at this with any kind of critical eye at all.
Or they're looking at it and complaining about it. But I can't imagine that there's a lot of those people because, like, I looked at these comments
why would you
and
share
not enough of that. I mean, you could share it and say,
this is bullshit. Right.
Look, there's not even anything to this story. Right. But I'm saying, like, most of these comments are not negative comments. They're all positive. They're like, shoot the protesters, kill all
run
the protesters.
Run them over with my car.
Yeah,
right?
That sort of thing. And once in a while, you'll get a person who says something that is critical of this in the sense that this has no evidence.
Yeah.
And what you get is a backlash of 50 or 60 comments telling them to shut the fuck up.
Just as bad is in that same comment section we were looking at earlier today. There's a whole bunch of people like, well, there's no evidence it didn't happen.
And
it's like, first of all, there's never evidence of things that didn't happen.
Yeah.
That's not even a thing.
Well, and the thing is the story itself. Says that. It says the report of anti-Trump protests blocking an ambulance has not been verified, but it's not unlikely given the anti-Trump demonstrators have blocked roads in numerous cities and states.
Right.
It's not unlikely. What the fuck does that mean?
It's obviously an article that's trying to get people to believe something that has zero evidence to it. So it says, hey, look, I didn't verify it, but it probably happened. Winky, nudge, right? I'm sure it did happen. If it didn't happen, it could happen. If it couldn't happen, it's probably gonna should have probably happened. I mean, it's a shit post. It's a garbage story.
And I'm scared of this sort of thing being transferred around. And I wonder, you know, I always wonder, am I guilty of this? Right? Am I guilty of doing anything like this? Or is the side like, you know, is like the liberal Democrat side guilty of this sort of thing?
Is your partisanship toward how you view things?
Skewing my, right?
And it's a legitimate thing to be worried about, right?
And so I started thinking about it, and here's where it's different. And this goes back to what I was talking about earlier when I said I don't know who's who's doing the crimes, the hate crimes that are coming out that are being photographed the next day, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know who went to one of the Beastie Boys has a park named after him in New York, and it was defaced.
Right, it was defaced, right? Yeah.
The guy who died, I don't remember which one it was.
Beastie.
The one with cancer.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah, no.
But, as an uncontrolled cell growth stopped.
But one of them died, and they named a park after him. And it was defaced with racist and Nazi like symbols.
Just weird.
I don't know who did that.
Sure.
And I'm not willing to say that it's, you know, neo-Nazis, right? Granted, they left a neo-Nazi calling card, but it could have been a liberal in there just trying to stir up problems. Make it look like Trump did something, like Trump has caused this to happen. There's a possibility that's true, right?
You never know who went to sabotage.
You were waiting for that one.
I was.
Good for you, buddy.
I was.
Good for you. I don't know who did it.
Yeah.
And I'm not willing to read an article that just says, hey, this it was found here. It could have been a Trump protester. Right? If I read that article, I'd be like, what? Yeah, it could have been. But sure. It could have also been anybody else.
Could have like, been
it
could a have not
been,
that.
It could have been a, you know, somebody else. So I feel like I'm not falling for it. But I hope that I'm not, right? Yeah. But this is really common now. This sort of share this garbage stuff that has no evidence for it.
So what do you think about Facebook building systems? Because they would build algorithms and systems, right, to prevent this. That's what the suggestion is.
I mean, what
do you think about that?
I think at least labeling them. I mean, I don't. Facebook has its rights to do whatever they want, right? Sure, so I know that there's going to be people.
But I'm curious what you think about it, not whether they have a right.
Right,
to it.
And I'm gonna I want to sort of cut people off at the pass who are going to say, well, it's free speech. I should be able to post whatever I want on it, right? Facebook. Yeah. It's Facebook. They get to decide what goes on to their fucking. You get to use that shit for free, but that doesn't mean it's free domain for everybody, right? It's not.
You get a full Facebook refund. Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Your Facebook refund is in the mail.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can be banned from Facebook. That happens to people all the time.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So the idea that, you know, it's fucking 100% free speech is garbage. It's not free speech. But I would like to see them label it as fake. I don't want to see that. What I don't want to see is, me not being able to share The Onion in the future, because I want to share The Onion because I think it's funny. I don't mind that it's labeled fake news. That doesn't bother me, because if you didn't know The Onion was fake news, you're a fucking idiot anyway. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you're a dumb person anyway. There's even a website or a Reddit or something where the people actually think the Onion articles are real and they comment.
Oh,
on
yeah, them. Not the Onion.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, here's what worries me about it. So first of all, I think Facebook needs to do this. So let me put that out there. But I have concerns about it. Facebook needs to do this for all the reasons we just elucidated, right? So I think I've seen all the same shit you've seen, although I see it less because I've really culled my Facebook feed so that it's not full of fucking yahoos.
Yeah,
I just get sick of this shit. But the problem is that once Facebook does this, if they just put a stamp, you know, fake or not fake, they're going to have to be very careful about how they do this, because otherwise this will play into that hyper-paranoid narrative.
That's what I was thinking, the mainstream media.
And, you know, you can't even trust fucking Facebook, like as if you ever should have trusted Facebook.
Yeah.
You don't know Facebook.
Or what they're doing is they're trying to control my feed. They're kind of trying to control the information that I get.
Right.
They're the globalists and they're trying to stop.
This will play into that hyper paranoid narrative that the right is using. The right loves that hyper paranoid.
Yeah, they're bashing narrative on mainstream media constantly. Yeah.
And we have a problem right now with the public's distrust of media and Trump. And this is great, because we, you know, Trump recently took reporters to task.
Yeah.
You and I were talking about this before the show, and, you know, was beating the shit out of these reporters, calling them names, like calling them, telling them that they were
saying
worthless,
they were liars,
all this other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we need to be critical of our media, but we can't be so distanced from media and from real journalism and real reporting, that we lose the ability to understand that without the Fourth Estate, without journalism, without media, there's nobody watching
there's
anymore.
There's no checks and balances.
There's
anymore,
nobody
right?
watching.
There's checks
anymore.
And balances in government, but there's nobody watching to tell us what's going on.
We have got to build systems of reporting that we trust. And it's up to us to be able to say, This is how you trust. This is why you trust. This is how you identify. You know, there was a book, I can't remember, the guy who wrote, Neil Postman.
Yeah.
He wrote a really great book back in the day when it was useful, called How to Watch TV News. And it was a really useful book about how to do just that. And there needs to be something similar that's much shorter, that is, you know, how to read your Facebook feed.
Yeah.
That really kind of gives you useful information, because how to watch TV news is no longer relevant to how we cycle through information.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, how to vet a story
online.
How
do you vet stories? Yeah. Right. If you just say it's all garbage, nobody's watching the government at all now. That's what you've just said. You've ceded control. You've ceded the watchdog, and you've stopped feeding them.
So let's take a moment to talk about our sponsor, AdamandEve.com. I, you know, Tom, I think this is a really great sponsor for our show. And we got messages after we took up the sponsorship from people who are like, I totally bought a fucking dildo. Thank you so much. Because it's like, you know, I saved 50%. I got some stuff. And I was able to use the code word that you guys do, Glory, G-L-O-R-Y. And they got some free shit out of AdamandEve.com.
I love the idea that our show is giving people orgasms.
Well, no, that's not.
Because I feel like mostly it takes away orgasms.
I also don't want to go too far on that. I presume they're not thinking anything at all about our show.
I'm hoping they are. I'm hoping
after,
you're all thinking about me right now.
Before. Pretty much any time.
Just go ahead and play this on repeat in the background.
Oh.
You'll need that cock ring, which you can get half off by entering Glory at checkout.
Yeah. I'm testing my own choke, my own gag reflex right now.
Look, when you're at home playing a little game of slappy chokey, think of us. And remember, those restraints are brought to you by AdamandEve.com.
Don't think of us. Don't think of us at all. Never think of us while you're doing that. Think of something sexy, for Christ's sake.
That spreader bar is brought to you by Cognitive Dissonance. You probably got it half off by going to AdamandEve.com and entering Glory at checkout.
So just remember that if you want to get a good deal on any kind of erotic item, sex item, you can go to AdamandEve.com. 50% off right now. You get 3 adult DVDs, a mystery gift, and you get free shipping if you type in the code word Glory at checkout. That's G-L-O-R-Y.
This story is from scienceblogs.com. Mystery solved. Chiropractic manipulation of the neck did cause Katie Mae's death from stroke. Well, there you go, Cecil. You know, we've talked before about chiropractic on this show. Chiropractic is one of those things that people seem to have this, like, well, it doesn't hurt anyone.
Yeah.
Kind of attitude.
Yeah,
toward,
yeah.
You know, like, it's like you bag on it and you get, well, it helped me with my back. You know,
I've heard
it
people say that.
Yeah, it doesn't. What's the harm?
And
it
we've gotten emails from people who are like, yeah, you know, that's helped me with my back. Yeah,
sure. And I've gone to see a chiropractor. I don't know if you have. I think you have, right?
One time.
I've been to a chiropractor.
Motherfucker, and didn't help.
So. Yeah. So let me. So my ex-wife used to work for chiropractors.
Yeah.
And I would go, and any number of times I'd be like, yeah, what the hell? You know, because I kind of had the same opinion. Like, it's not going to hurt me.
Sure.
Right? Like,
what's the worst that can happen?
You're not going to hurt me with a little poppy cracky on the old back. Right? Like, you're going to fucking Orville Redenbacher my spine for 30 seconds. It means nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and
maybe
here
it'll help. Yeah.
Fucking winning Rome, right? But it's not a winning Rome issue. It's just not.
You know,
people get dead.
Yeah, this woman, she was a very popular, I guess, Instagrammer was one of the major things that she did. She had a very large following on Instagram. There's an anatomical image here where they show where, you know, there's a vein that runs through, an artery that runs through your neck, through your vertebrae. And if you snap it the wrong way or move it the wrong way, you can get a stroke. Like, you can... You can lose blood, and you know it can be a really horrible, horrible fucking thing, and you die from it. And this girl is young girl.
Yep.
She died, just dead from getting her fucking neck cracked.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, I think the one thing that this does, though, is it really does show that all the times in, like, those Jason Bourne movies, that's a real thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
Steven Seagal wasn't... He wasn't
just kidding around.
Showing our age with the Steven Seagal.
Steven
reference.
Seagal could break your neck and kill you.
Only if you're an Instagrammer, though.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
That's the thing. Like, you got to be a believer
right before you get
before he pops out of a fucking cake or something.
Yeah. So he's a fucking...
You know that guy's a cop down in New Orleans
he
is, now?
Yeah. He has like a TV show about it, yeah.
Does he really?
Yeah, he's a TV show. Yeah,
oh, my God.
See if you find it on YouTube. I bet you it'd be pretty good. Watch his chubby ass running around.
Like, I want to go down to New Orleans and commit a crime just to meet him, you know?
Somebody jumps a fence. He's like, forget it. I'll just get it. I'll just let the dog out.
He looks good.
It
doesn't
matter.
It's fine.
I bet here, I want to smack him around a little.
It's fine. I don't need to catch him. It wasn't a legitimate rape.
Oh,
I'm Raymond Massey, and I have a special message for senior citizens. Today's doctors, drugs, and medical devices truly work medical miracles for young and old alike. But there are some as phony as a $3 bill. Investigate before you invest in health services or products. Help stamp out quackery.
This story is from the Argus.co.uk. Police investigate grandmother's death at Chinese slap therapy course. This is insane.
So wait, so it's a granny slap therapy? Yeah, those are both on my Pornhub searches.
Yeah, I've Googled that. Yeah, not actually more than once, though. That gets, even for me, even that's a little weird. Like, there comes a point where you're like, I'm still going to jerk off to it, but I'm not going to be comfortable
like,
about
do
it.
Do I feel like gray pubes today? Is that a thing?
Even grandma has to shave if we're going to get things done, right? Everyone deserves a clean work surface. It's fucking wrinkly enough. Jesus.
The problem though is like, Jesus. It's like one of those, it's like that house that's been foreclosed on.
It's like,
like somebody's, you got to pay somebody to mow the lawn.
The water's turned off.
You got to pay somebody to mow the lawn. Yes, like there's a lot of back taxes.
Bring your own wet. The water's turned off.
Jesus.
Oh my God. There's enough fucking folds and wrinkles. You don't need it that aged. Jesus Christ. Problem is, it's fucking dry aged. That's not good. So this.
That's because it only has you to think about. That shit just shrivels right up. It's like somebody threw one of those desiccant pads in there.
It's like I show up and it's like the fucking rapid aging disease.
It's like a fucking scarlet pit. There's a fucking Jedi in there.
You sucked all the moisture out of the room.
Oh, God.
It's amazing. So
you got to get fucking like a tattoo dehumidifier right over your... I mean, belly button.
If I was a fucking superhero, I'd be the vaginal dehumidifier. You just...
My cape's always so wet. You gotta bring it out.
Oh, God. Smells weird. You got to bring it to the dry cleaner.
All right, so slappy, choky grandma. Okay, all right, go on.
Yeah. All right, so.
Just lean into this.
Hold this. If you drop it, that's like a safe word. All right, so this diabetic.
If you're interested in grandma porn, remember our sponsor, AdamandEve.com.
Get your grandma some new toys and spice up your love life at AdamandEve.com. Enter glory at checkout.
And, you know, if grandma's a little dry down there, remember, they sell lots of lube. AdamandEve.com. Lots of lube at AdamandEve.com.
All right, so this woman went to a self-healing retreat where I love this because it's self-healing, but somebody has to beat the shit out of you. That's not self-healing.
I know, right? Self-healing means I just sit in a room and be like, heal.
If I'm going to sit in a room by myself and slap myself, I don't know if I'm going to be healed, but I also don't know that I need help. Yeah. Like, I've been doing that since I was 13. I got that pretty well covered, right? So this woman shows up at a self-healing retreat where attendees were slapped until they're black and blue. And then she was found later, you know, dead. So this is amazing. We actually looked up some pictures of what these people look like after they've gone through one of these slap healing seminars. So the idea is they beat the shit out of you to get the toxins out of your body.
Yeah.
Also to break the capillaries under your skin.
I mean, they essentially just bruise the shit out of you. And in a way that you look at and you're like, wow, that really looks like traumatic injury to somebody.
Terrifying levels of injury.
But here's what happened to this woman. She didn't get slapped to death.
No, she did not.
She just didn't take her insulin. She's a diabetic.
Because she thought this was going to work.
Well, and then she got cautioned against it, right? Like that's the problem is that sometimes they go to these things and like, oh, you don't need to take that stuff.
Right.
What these charlatans need to do to stay in business is to just stay away from the things that you know for sure you need medicine for. You know what I mean? Just stay away from those things. I know that those people are always looking for a way to try to make sure that they, you know what I mean? Like people are looking for the cure to diabetes because they just don't want to take their insulin every day, right? They want a cure for diabetes.
I don't blame them,
right?
Like I would, if I had diabetes, you know, I'd really want the cure for diabetes? Fucking diabetes. Absolutely.
You know, kidney problems, et cetera, all these things that they want answers for. And it's easy money for these people. But, you know, why not just be like, just keep taking your insulin until it works?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? But instead, they caution them away from it, and then these people die.
And the thing is, like, you're right, because they don't even have to backtrack on their claim, right? All the person still shows up to your fucking $800 slappy chokey seminar, right? Like, whatever.
So I paid for that with an escort once. It was only $300, Tom. It's not $800. If I get three slappy chokies in the same night.
Wait, how much do I get to slap them and how much do I get to choke them?
You don't get to touch them, actually. Not without a big black guy in the room. It's going to watch the whole
thing. I'm just like, I show up and be like, we're going to play a little no.
No, you're not going to let me slap you?
Gently? No.
No.
No. I'll warn you. No.
This sounds like a job for the dehumidifier.
Well, okay. But they don't even have to backpedal from their claim, right? Because somebody's going to show up. They're going to give them the fucking $800.
Able to leap dry vaginas in a single bound.
they pay their $800 for the fucking seminar or whatever, and then all you got to say is like, look, it takes a while for it to take effect.
Sure.
So you'll notice your fucking numbers on your testometer or whatever the fuck they use, right?
Yeah.
When they start to change, and if they don't start to change, come back for the next seminar.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to beat the shit out of you more than once.
And over and over and over.
I'll tell you what, when I'm beating the shit out of somebody, they come back for seconds, right? Because I'm gentle.
Mm. When your ex-wife worked at the chiropractor.
Yeah.
That's a common practice, isn't it? Like, come back a million times.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like,
that was the thing. They wanted to put you on a wellness program.
Yeah.
That was the whole goal of the sales pitch, was we're going to get you out of acute pain or whatever, because that's what usually caused people to show up, right? They show up because they're like, I can't, my back.
Or, like, I can only move these two fingers.
Right, yeah. They're just like,
well,
my
maybe
whole,
you shouldn't be 700 pounds.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> They never, it's so funny, because they wouldn't say that shit, right? They wouldn't be like, maybe you're just, like, bloated. Like from eating too much food. Like, they don't say that, right? Yeah. They're just like, look, all right, here's the problem. Your spine doesn't go crickle crack enough. So we're going to do a little crickety to crackety on your back. And then once you're out of pain, which could take 7 to 12 years, then you can come back. Right? Because they're not like, it's three treatments. They're like,
we're either
going
to go to adolescent or preteen before you're done.
Right. Yeah. It's happening. And then they want to put you on a wellness program so that I remember it was pitched to me. It was like, look, you take your car in for an oil change. And I was just like, but my spine is in a car and you don't change the oil in it. So terrible analogy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I know why my car needs an oil change. I understand the mechanism involved.
So are you saying I need to replace my blood every 3,000 miles? Well, and you know, these people that we saw earlier in one of these videos, we didn't see them actually slapping, but this guy who is a slapper, right? This slapping guy who's a Chinese doctor.
Dr. Slapchop.
Yeah.
Doctor.
You're going to love his nuts. he had this woman on this, and a guy on this table. And the table has this brace on it that essentially just makes one of your legs go straight up into the
air.
Straight.
Like,
absolutely
completely
straight up in the
perpendicular.
Air. Last night I was at the gym and we were stretching out afterwards, and you can do that with a strap. Like, so if you take a strap and throw it around your heel and then pull, you can get your leg straight, but it's an uncomfortable position to be in for a length of time because you're stretching your hamstrings out in a really really difficult angle. And it takes, you know, unless you're very flexible, that's not something that most people can do, right?
If you're very flexible, send us a message at... Cecil is just disgusted. He's over there just horrified. I'll draw you right out.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Every single dude is going to send you a message. So you fucking brought that on yourself. Don't send it to our email address. Send it to Tom's fucking Facebook. Dick pick him there. You can do that, but these are what they have on the table in front of them is two obese old people, right? These are middle-aged to older people that are obese. Like, this woman's laying down, and you said her fucking belly's out farther than her tits. I mean, it's just like she's a giant woman, and she's laying down and her legs straight up in the air. This is probably the first time ever her leg has ever been in that position, right?
Nobody's held it there for her in a long time.
Gracious, well, you need two men and a boy to do it. But anyway, it's a fucking...
You need two men and a boy to get through it.
But anyway, her leg's sticking straight up in the air, and then her other leg is sort of hanging off this thing, and he walks up, and he's like, is that uncomfortable? And she's like, yeah, it's fucking uncomfortable because I'm fucking out of shape. And then he's
just wait till I slap the shit out of you.
Well, yeah, he didn't even do it in the video, which is disappointing. I kind of wanted to see exactly what they did, but we couldn't find a video on them actually hitting people. But what he does is he walks up and he starts naming all these things. He's like, well, the problem with your body is that you're not stretching out and your back is hurt, and this evidently the slapping is going to help. And he starts naming all the things that happen to go along with being obese, right? He's like, hypertension, diabetes, you know, all this.
Shitty knees, lousy hips.
And he's like, and it's all this stuff that happens to be with, you know, when you're a giant person, all these things go off on you, right? Those are the things that start to go bad. And you're like, well, you know, it's really easy to just look at somebody and be like, well, here's the major problems with obese people. These five things. Well, all I got to do is call obese people up here, say it's that their leg is not at a weird angle, and just start naming all the shit that's wrong with obese people.
Right. It would be just slightly less transparent if he was like, you know what's wrong with your back? You're fat!
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That would be it.
Yeah.
Like, that would be the only... That would be slightly less transparent.
That so much in my life.
Yeah, me too, right?
No, and it's true. I go to the doctor, and on my thing at the doctor, it says, like, you know, one of the things on my thing is always needs to lose weight. It's always on there.
Sure.
It's always on there. Overweight, needs to lose weight.
Yeah. Grotesque. I see that on mine a lot.
Keep them out of here.
I don't know why
Febreze
the dentist
the room afterwards. It's on the thing.
I don't know why
don't
the dentist has to write it down. That's fucking rude. Go to the eye doctor. He just writes blind me. I don't know what that's about. Dick.
Fat eyes.
Sir, you have a condition known as fat eyes. We've only ever seen it on you.
And that's happening in our country today with the establishment of Sharia law, the allowance of religious practices for other groups, but not Christians.
So this is bizarre. Mary Colbert, Trump's border wall is okay because heaven has gates. This is going to be so great.
All right, here we go. This is Mary Colbert.
Our religious liberties are slowly being stripped away.
Thank you,
little
Mary, for standing
by
up.
Little. And we as the church have got to stand up and say enough is enough. That's it.
Right. That's
we've
right.
got to stand up.
Yeah.
And again, that's where it's light versus darkness. I mean, Donald Trump is potentially going to appoint 4 or 5 Supreme Court justices.
Or nine. He's just going to support. He's going to appoint them all. He's going to kill four
five?
Of them.
Now, hold on a second. We're going to look at the Supreme Court and their ages right now.
There's no way you get to 5, Cecil. There's no way that you get to 5. Ginsburg is a trillion years old. Fine. I think Kennedy's not exactly. None of them are young men, but.
So right now, Roberts is 61. In fucking 4 years, he'll be 65. I still think he's got a pretty good chance of hanging in there.
Sure. He's younger than Trump.
Yeah, he's 80 for Kennedy. That's not a young man. 68, I'm not convinced that Clarence Thomas is going anywhere. Ginsburg.
83. But it's a power 83.
Man, have you seen pictures of her lately?
She is not in good health.
Oh, she's like the Crypt Keeper would call her old.
Yeah, she is. I mean, she's wearing pilgrim outfits.
Yeah, I know.
From her, look at what she's wearing.
Old-timey.
She looks like a pilgrim.
She is old-timey.
Because she's an actual Mayflower pilgrim.
Breyer, 78. Again, like we have 2. 78 and 80, that's old to
that's
me.
That's old.
Right? So that's, again, we're up to 3. 66 for Alito.
No,
I'm not. I don't feel like that's a 62 for Sotomayor.
Fine.
And then 56 for Keegan.
Fine.
I don't feel like any of that's that big a deal. Like, I feel like I'll, like, you know, at most you have three, and three seems like you're pushing it because, you know, I don't know what shape Kennedy is in. Ginsburg is probably a for real. You also have somebody who's you already have to appoint, so that's two, definite one.
Right.
Then possibly Ginsburg. And then that's it.
It's
two, maybe three, maybe if like something, you know,
yeah,
like we get
Kennedy's
another.
Kennedy's old. Like 80 is old. He's an old dude, yep. Right? Is it? He's been on the fucking bench for 28 years.
The worst part is, though, Bader and Breyer both like appointed by Clinton.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
These are the nominees that we don't want, or the justice we
Kennedy
don't want.
We're fine with.
Yeah, but I was listening to opening arguments, and I think he's the swing vote.
He's the swing
Kennedy
vote.
Kennedy
okay,
is kind of a swing vote.
Yeah. Kennedy at this point, you know, is probably the only one that you'd be quasi okay with, you'd be bad with Kennedy. You'd be like, Kennedy sucks. Right now they're replacing a Republican, right? They're replacing a Republican activist judge. I mean,
sure.
They look at
So
fucking,
what are the, what's the worst that's going to happen? Like, we have the same court we had
same
before.
Court before.
So then it's just a matter of who dies next.
Exactly. And Ginsburg is, you know, if it goes, because it could go on some of these things 6-3 then if Ginsburg goes. So bad, but, you know, certainly not five fucking Supreme Court justices.
It's not it's not happening unless they're all in the same room.
Yeah, or there's another fucking influenza epidemic or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like barring something that is catastrophic to a lot of people or specifically the Supreme Court in general.
Yeah, right. Wait, unless there's like some weird Supreme Court justice virus that only targets Supreme Court justices.
It likes those robes. It just stays in those robes.
If Hillary gets in, the justices that she will appoint.
This is being recorded the day of the election, by the way.
Will literally strip most of the remainder of our religious liberties away from us.
They'll literally do that.
They will literally
strip our religious liberties.
Well, that's the thing, is they will dress you in your civil liberties, and then they'll
strip take them off.
Strip you of them.
I'm interested. Will they play Pour Some Sugar on Me while they do it? Or maybe Cherry Pie.
I was thinking Cherry Pie, yeah.
Ginsburg's on the pole, just swinging around, all sandpapery, making like a weird hissing sound as her
dry body
whips around the pole.
She has to like
she gets stuck to it.
She doesn't
it's
have
not
the,
even cold.
She doesn't have the grip, so they have to like clamp her arm to it, and she's just sort of spinning around it like a dejected volleyball or what do they call it, tetherball? She's like tetherballing around the edge.
They just tie her arm flaps around it.
She's like rail thin, and her giant robe is flapping behind her.
That'll be so funny.
She's like
watch.
17 pounds worth of person.
And who knows what else will we have? Sharia law? I mean, look at the amount of Muslims, Islamists from these war-torn countries that she's going to allow in here, that there's no possible way to vet these people. I've been to Israel. Mm-hmm. And when I go into a mall in Israel, I have to walk through a metal detector.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, if she gets elected with all these Syrians, 60,000 plus Syrians coming in here, will America, when you go out to eat at a restaurant, will you have to go through a metal detector? Mm-hmm. Will you have to have bulletproof glass windows in?
Why? Bulletproof glass? Well, Jesus, we love our guns over here.
But that just plus doesn't it just contain the blast? So it just whoop 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 inside the building.
It's like you just turned the nail bomb. It was a nail bomb before. Now it's a blender.
Right? Will it blend?
Well, you have to go through a metal detector when you go to the mall to
Many
a movie theater.
Schools already here.
What schools aren't that way because of Muslim terrorists? What? That is a fucking stupid thing. Well, some of our schools have them. Yeah, because the students bring guns to school.
Yeah.
Not because Muslim terrorists from Syria are showing up to math class.
You know why they bring them to school is because they're easy to get. Because they're so easy to get. And everybody can get them. Like, you just walk on the street and be like, I would like a gun. People give you a gun. That's so easy. That's why. What the fuck?
We have so many guns that we have a problem that kids kids can't buy cigarettes and they're walking around with fucking guns in their backpacks.
And we're getting to that point if we continue to be a borderless, globalist society, we will continue again to have these drug dealers coming in.
Don't be worried about the Muslims. Who am I scared of? I can't be scared of all these people at the same time. Who am I scared? I'm afraid of fucking evil math students, and now I'm afraid of drug dealers and the Muslims too.
Right.
To have these ISIS fighters, suicide bombers coming in, we will have terrorist activity after terrorist activity, and we will lose our religious liberty.
What is that? What does that have to do? Wait, why?
I don't even know how those two things are connected. Because you're going to have...
That's like saying because the terrorists are here, my credit score is going down.
That's probably true.
That's not why. Yeah. Thanks, Obama.
Well, different kind of terrorist.
That's a domestic act of terrorism.
The 20-year occupation.
Oh, I should have had better borders. You know what? Fuck it. I'm building a wall.
Oh, man. That's awesome. Well, the problem is she brought in those immigrants and then you couldn't kick them out. They were anchor babies, Tom. They were anchor babies. That was the problem.
When your body burns this stuff with no carbohydrates, what happens is you build up the clinkers.
So, Cecil, our favorite Crypt Keeper is back.
He is. We haven't had Pat on for a while. I don't know that he was talking about a lot of stuff that we were all that interested in for a while.
No, so. he had that thing about... Dungeons and Dragons not that long ago. But he's really been kind of, you know, he's not been that interesting this election cycle. He's not been that interesting. But he's decided to opine upon the fate of the black family.
Huh.
And so I feel like it's time to perk up our ears and get our 700 Club on.
Okay. Well, this article is called Pat Robertson, Black Families Were Better Off in the 1930s. And he would know better, I think, than anyone else what the 1930s were
like. As a man
like.
Just beginning to collect Social Security in the 1930s.
So all of this stuff right now where we are playing the blame game, where we are killing ourselves, where we are, you know, the world is looking at black America and they're saying, what are these people doing to themselves? Mm-hmm. We don't get it because we should be missionaries. Yeah. We're still a mission field.
Well, your compatriots must hate your guts, if I can use those terms for you, saying what you say.
Black people must not like your message is what he's saying. You are an outsider amongst your people, says Pat Robertson, the most outsiderist amongst black people.
Yes, well, I'm telling the truth. And I'm telling them the truth.
I like your message. As an old white man, it resonates with the kind of shit I like to hear.
Exactly. I love to hear how inferior your people are.
Nothing I like.
I mean, really, it's just, I get, you know, I haven't been hard in a long time, but I get a semi-chub when you say it.
There's nothing these fucking out-of-touch white dudes love more than finding a black person to espouse their shit.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, they love
this
it.
Fucking, like you said, like nothing gets the fucking three fucking drops of blood flowing to their dick harder than this.
Yeah. Exactly, and they love it. They love it all over, and that's why I think somebody like Jesse Lee Peterson is popular, because he's one of these black guys that wants to tell us how bad black people are, how they've, you know, they're just awful group of people, and they need to fucking shape up.
Same thing with Roger Manning, right?
Yeah, Manning does the same thing. Yeah. And those people make a lot of money based off of this. I don't know how much money they make, but you know, at least they're trading on it. They built their career off of trying to say how, you know, really what the black community is a bunch of people that need to grow the fuck up. Really, that's what
right.
they are.
Yeah, they call the black community crybabies.
Yeah,
you know,
they need to grow up. They need to be responsible. You know, when you say, like, you know, they need to be responsible. Are there people in every community that are irresponsible? Yeah, absolutely. Like, there's people in every single community that are irresponsible. But to just point out the irresponsible people in that community and then to label that community as irresponsible.
Yeah, to say that those people are emblematic of the whole thing, right? Yeah.
You don't do that with people in a trailer park, right? We don't say well, they're emblematic of all white people. We don't say all these people are we don't say
the world is looking at you know, These
Mobile, Alabama,
white trash folks in you know, garbage town USA, and saying this is what white America looks like. In fact, we don't even talk about anything called white America.
Yeah.
Right? Because we all would recognize that that's absurd.
Yeah.
And it's absurd to talk about black America the same way.
Yeah.
Yet somehow if a black guy says, I'm going to talk about black America as if there's one such thing as black America,
yeah,
then there's a free pass, right? Yeah. There's this free pass because we are afraid to criticize a white or a person of color talking about other people of color. As if you get a free pass.
You get a free pass, yeah.
On being intellectually rigorous, sure. Yeah. Right? And you don't get a free pass on being intellectually rigorous.
And we can't die. I've been going to several cities, Pat, including Harlem, New York,
yeah.
Where the death rate is higher than the birth rate, and it's in depopulation.
That happens when there's just old people in places. Yeah. Like, that happens in Japan, right? Like, yeah. Like... there are a lot of causes for why a community might have a death. Right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying, yeah. Right? Is that a community might have a death rate higher than the birth rate for any number of reasons,
sure.
Outside of violence, right? But he's going to, I'm sure, tie this to violence. Mm-hmm.
Numbers of the cities, blacks are dying faster than they're born.
That has nothing to do with how many babies are being born. Like, you know, there's right.
Against the number of babies, yeah, against the population total.
There's no way.
Right. It's a statistic. It's statistically insignificant. It's a few hundred against a population of 3 million.
Yeah. I don't even know. I don't even know how you could say that that's what's causing zero population in those areas is those few hundred murders.
Yeah, well, you say it by being dishonest.
It used to be like in the 30s, the blacks were self-sustaining. They had wonderful families. They had home ownership. They were in business. And what happened over those years?
They don't have wonderful families now?
They don't
now.
Have home ownership now.
They're
either.
Not self-sustaining
They're
now?
They're not self-sustaining
oh,
now.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I believe what happened is...
You're a racist. That's what happened.
That's what happened,
What
right?
happened is you're a fucking racist, right. Pat. Yeah.
When your belief system, when your messaging takes you outside of what the potential of God is in you, mm-hmm. so that you look for something outside of you, then what happens is you start depending on those sources, and those sources are not your source.
What are you even talking about?
That the black community turned away from getting their messaging from God and is getting their messaging from the government. Getting their messaging from
maybe
from another source, yeah. Other than God, right?
Sure. Maybe.
Either way, fucking black families by and large probably not better off in the 30s. Feel like that's not a thing. To say out loud, said yeah. Nobody. You know, nobody who was fucking black in the 30s
had it so good before the civil rights movement.
I know.
What are you gonna cry now? Come on, cry, baby, cry for me. Come on, cry.
So, stories from Right Wing Watch. Kurt Schilling gripes about liberal wussified Ebonics and defends the use of torture. So, this is actually from an online radio program. That is from Breitbart. It's been launched through Breitbart. So this is this guy, Kurt Schilling, is evidently a former Major League Baseball pitcher. Now he's a conservative radio talk show host. He's in an interview with Milo Yiannopoulos, who's a Breitbart editor. And I guess we should just play this horrifying clip.
Here's what happened. The election went the way it went for this reason. The left and liberals took Donald Trump literally and not seriously. And the right and the center took Donald Trump seriously and not literally. And so
yeah, I read
that,
this the in real Atlantic. It's very good. It's very good.
And yes, and that is yeah, it's not a Kurt Schilling original. Nothing really is, but that's in a nutshell, that's exactly why we are where we are. And now we have a country full of gigantic pusses, is all I can say. Who need puppies and coloring books at college.
Who needs puppies and coloring books? Like at the Hamilton Theater. You need those things there. You've right. got to make sure. Yeah. You know, what they should have had was a little puppy and coloring books safe space.
That they could give to Mike Pence.
For Mike
and say,
Pence to have.
Oh, feelings yeah. hurt by yeah. somebody? Yeah.
I want America to go back to, you know, it's a question like response to being offended, right? You can either run for a safe space, demand that the person is reprimanded for hate speech, cry, write a column for, you know, for the Daily Beast about it, or you can say, you're an asshole, and move on with your life. Get on with your life.
Wait a second. I'm going to say to somebody, "You're an asshole," and move on with my life when they're a racist and they're trying to hurt my friends.
Yeah, let's talk about this for a second because this kind of makes me crazy. There is an idea floating around that you can say any old mean-spirited, hateful shit that you want to say, and the only reasonable response to it, the only response that the alt-right community seems to acknowledge as appropriate is to just get into a pissing match with whoever said it, right?
Yeah.
So you say something hateful to me, and I say, fuck you, and we just have this great big screaming match into the void, and that's okay. That's how dialogue should be done, according to these guys, right? He just said that, right? Yeah. You say something shitty, I say you're an asshole, and that's the conversation.
Yeah. Don't write about it.
But
don't reflect on it. Don't do any of those other things that he said.
Right.
You have to just say you're an asshole and then move on with your life.
Where they get upset is that when you say some mean-spirited, hateful shit to me and I write a column about it. Well, why is that? Well, you were supposed to just yell right back at me. I was yelling at you. You're supposed to yell back at me. Instead, you called me out on it. Well, you went and told everybody I was an asshole instead of just yelling at me that I was an asshole.
Yeah. Or you shut me off.
Right.
The other one is you shut me off. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. The alternative is like, well, I fucking did a thing and then you said something awful. And then I was like, well, fucking, I don't want to listen to your shit anymore. And I ban you from my Twitter page or whatever. And they get all upset about that. Right. And they get all worked up. Like I've violated their free speech and I just don't want to hear their shit.
Yeah, all I got to do is block you. I can block anybody I want on Twitter.
Yeah,
I have that power.
Yeah, it's not free speech.
Yeah.
Free speech is the government encroaching on your ability to speak, right? Has nothing to do with whether or not I'm interested in having that conversation.
Yeah.
I think this is the growing pains of a community that takes place, a community of speech that takes place online. That doesn't involve real eye-to-eye human contact, right? Real, genuine human interaction.
Absolutely. Nobody says this shit if you're not surrounded by electrons,
right?
Very rarely, right? We were talking about the racist earlier. Like, racists are all over online, right?
Sure,
you fucking run into a bunch of racists online, but you throw up, hey, everybody, we're going to have a racist convention and only 200 people show up.
Exactly.
Right? You know, there's a smaller group of people than there is on the online community. And it's because you're protected by anonymity on the online community. Possibly, maybe you're not, but you're also protected by distance, right?
And when it happens, the first response from people, I think, in our generation is, like you just said, you would never say that to me. There's no way, toe-to-toe, you're going to look me in my eye and talk to me like that. I would never. You know why I know that? It's because it never has happened to me.
Yeah,
I've made it 38 years of my life. And I've had some really strong disagreements with people, and it's never escalated anywhere near the point of an online interaction and how fast they escalate to these horrifying name-calling bullshit.
Never happens.
What these guys want on the right, on the alt-right, on the whole like pushback against, what they want is they want a place, and that place is all places, that they can go and scream as loud as they want. And the only acceptable response from you is to scream back. If you take any other action.
It's not, though. But it's not. That's not true. Because when fucking Milo Yiannopoulos or whatever the fuck did some shows at colleges and people came in and screamed, he got all hissy about it. He got all bitchy about it because people came into his show.
Because that's a human interaction now.
Right.
It's not the online space.
Right.
When I say that all they want is to scream at each other, that's what I mean is online.
Yeah,
right?
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
And I wasn't clear. What they mean is online, right? So if online, if you call me, you know, like happened to Eli the other day, somebody called him a kike, right? Yeah. Somebody called him a fucking kike. And then they laughed about how that, like later on, they laughed about calling a Jewish guy a kike. They never would have said that to him in person.
No, God.
Nobody would ever say that to him. They wouldn't say that to anybody around me in person or you in person.
No, I
fucking know it and you know it, right? When people are toe-to-toe, right, and people yell at you, it's a totally different ballgame, right?
Yeah.
Everything about that interaction is different. It's the online space where they want to have a different set of rules. And those rules are called, let's all scream into the void.
Yeah.
Go and do something or achieve something or be something. Rather than trying to make a career out of your own incontinent feelings, my goodness.
Well, how fucking hypocritical is that, too? Like, I said something shitty, and then so you say something shitty to me, and I go and write an article, and you're like, get on with your life. Why are you fucking writing it?
I'm
responding to your shittiness. You took the time out of your day to be an asshole to me.
He's saying, you know, just say something back and be done with it.
Yeah, well, what if I don't want to be done with it?
Yeah.
Now you're patrolling my speech. Now you're policing my response to you. Tell you what, my response to you, if you say it in person,
it's very different.
It's very different.
Very different.
Well, I'm in a place where I think I'm going to throat punch the next person I hear the word microaggressions from. I'm so tired. I don't even know what the hell that means. I mean, the left has created, you know, you have this Urban Dictionary and as you grow up, words, you know, Google and all these words that didn't exist. The left has made this entirely new language.
What the what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Words like Google.
Yeah. That's a tough word for this guy.
Words like Google. Yeah. All of a sudden, as the world has changed, we've introduced new words to match those concepts. That makes me feel old and out of touch.
Yeah.
Talk about fucking crying, you big fucking pussy ass baby. You just can't keep up intellectually.
Yeah.
And that makes you feel uncomfy.
You're super sad.
Right?
Bro.
You got your fucking footy pajamas on and you're stalking around the house like, I don't know what's going on anymore.
I mean, I think on some level, I agree that, you know, like, yeah, some of that stuff is dumb. Like some of the language that they use is dumb. And it is trying to demonize the other side by picking out all the tiny little things that's wrong with what they're saying, right? It's language policing. It's all that bad stuff that I don't like. I don't like that stuff. And it's tone policing. And it's like that shit is just garbage. And so I'm with you on some of this stuff.
You know, I think too that there is a disconnect between an intellectual examination of language and context and subtext and an evaluation of things and saying like, hey, you know, if you really stop and think about what these words mean or what that costume means or whatever, you know, maybe these are things we should have a conversation about,
sure.
Like an intellectual conversation about how and when and why these things are appropriate or if they're inappropriate. But that's not the same thing as saying can or can't.
Yeah.
Nobody is outlawing these things. These guys on the other side that Schilling is on, they are acting as if they are being literally policed. They are acting as if they are in a position where, you know, you can go out right now and wear blackface. There is literally no law that says you can't do that.
No.
You could go out and do it.
Well, the law is that somebody's gonna beat the piss out of you if you do it.
Look, the thing is though that's a social consequence. What they seem to be unable or unwilling to distinguish is that there is a difference between social consequences and legal consequences, because they all cry freedom of speech, right? Freedom of speech is a legal construct. It's not a social construct, right?
It's nothing to do with other people.
So that's the first thing that they're going to cry, and they fucking cry it with their big fucking tears. But they also seem to push back against intellectual arguments that are made in really small communities. You know, if I go out on the street right now, I could pretty much guarantee this. If I were to walk out on the street right now and I wait for the first 100 people that walk past me and I ask them to tell me what a microaggression is, 7 might know. So microaggressions are not something that are policing people's language, right? Nobody knows what they are. It's a small subset. It's a tiny community of people that really are part of an intellectual niche community that are looking at things, looking at language and evaluating the subtext of language and looking at things like costumes, right? And evaluating the subtext of costuming, just using these things as examples. Sure. This isn't what most people are thinking about. This is not part of the cultural awareness or cultural consciousness in a significant way.
Look back to the Yale thing, right? And when you had an email that came out, the email didn't say you can't dress in blackface.
No.
It said you should consider not dressing in this stuff.
Yeah. And it didn't even say that. It said maybe the university isn't the one who should tell you.
I'm talking about from the university initially.
I was getting my information from a yik yak.
Yeah, no. the university initially, that was not a letter saying this is verboten, right?
Right.
Instead, they were saying these are things you should maybe consider. Here's a couple of things that you could consider on, you know, these are some costumes that you might not want to do, things like that, right? They pointed to them a Pinterest page that was like 6 years old or whatever. Anyway, then the other letter comes out and says, you know, maybe we should let the people decide on their own. But both of those things were in the middle ground, right? Nobody was saying, you know, that
don't,
and nobody was saying go for it. Instead, they were saying maybe we should just sort of consider, you know, how people think and let them try to figure it out on their own. I think one side was saying that. The other side was like, look, maybe you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Right? Those two things are pretty mild, right? They're both pretty mild responses.
Extremely mild,
right?
Man.
In comparison to what the world has made it out to be.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that most of the world doesn't even know.
Yeah.
Most of the world has no idea. They don't have any idea these conversations are even happening. If I were to ask my dad who's Milo Yiannopoulos,
yeah,
my dad wouldn't even be able to spell it.
Well, does he own the Greek restaurant?
Right,
down
exactly.
The street?
He'd be like, I don't know. I don't want any of that flaming cheese.
Yeah, I'd like that stuff. Could you pour a little lemon on it? It's good.
I mean, for real, like these
smells
aren't
like feet.
Same thing. I mean, truthfully, the same shit is true of people like Sam Harris,
exactly.
Right? Sam Harris isn't an actual celebrity.
No.
It's right?
Like, yeah, you look at real celebrities
right.
On Twitter and
Kim
they have
Kardashian
like, yeah.
Curb stomps the shit out of yeah. Him in terms of popularity. These are niche celebrities within a niche, within a niche, within a niche, within a community, right? These microaggressions are only issues in micro communities.
Yeah.
And they make them out as if these are overarching problems that define our whole national conversations. And they're just not.
That is bordering on ebonics for microaggressions
oh, it's so
and safe
weird.
Spaces. And it's so, and it is wussified. And here's the thing. We went away from a world where being a man and taking care and providing for your family, or being a woman and being a stay-at-home mom and raising your children, it has become a negative.
That's just not true.
That's just not true.
That's just not true.
Yeah.
I have been fortunate enough in my life to have a lot of different roles. And I have been the primary breadwinner for most of my life. And I have also been, at parts of my life, the primary caretaker for my kid. And you can serve in both of those functions.
Sure.
And nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Why? That's the thing I don't understand is like in my role with my wife, like people don't know who the primary breadwinner is in our family, right?
Right.
People don't, I don't fucking
You would have to tell people.
I would have to go out of my way to tell you.
Right.
Why would you think I care?
I get my W-2
sprayed
on my shirt, though.
Mom, why would I care whether you're the primary breadwinner? Why can't you just keep your business to yourself? I don't care what happens in your home.
Right.
Like, why is it a big deal that you're saying that's a bad thing? I wouldn't even know if you didn't tell me.
Yeah. But even if you did tell people, nobody has ever said word one to me about either role
sure.
That I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
I've held them both simultaneously. I mean, it's nobody's ever said good job, bad job, medium. Nobody says shit about
what
it.
What he's mad about.
Nobody
it,
cares.
What he's mad about is the fact that people are empowering women to get into the workforce.
Yeah.
That's what he's mad about.
That is, because
he's
he has
mad.
To contend with
yeah,
women in positions of power and authority.
He's pissed off that somebody said, hey, you know what? You don't have to just stay at home. You could go do other stuff.
Right.
You know, we're talking to Karen Garson. She was like, yeah, when I was a kid, there was no examples of people doing anything that were women. I thought I really only had two or three careers that I could go into because
right.
These are women careers. Well, nowadays, that's not really a thing.
Yeah.
You look at it and you're like, you know, except for politics, all the rest of it is wide open.
Well, listen, all you have to do is you call someone a Bible-toting person in the United States. That is a slam. That's a negative thing.
Yeah, it's true.
How did we get here?
It's a sort of inversion of values, you know, what the left wants to do, because it wants to tear down all of the things that make America wonderful. Freedom, democracy, property rights, capitalism, free expression, all that kind of stuff.
I like all those things.
All those things?
I'm pro all that stuff.
Pro all that stuff too.
I like freedom. I like copyright. I like what I don't know why I threw copyright in there. Is there some fight against copywriting that I'm unaware of?
He might have said free market too in there too, which again is like, you know, like you just don't even know who you're fighting against.
You know, it does it by this inverting values, you know, making the things that used to be great and noble and decent and true, whether it is, you know, freedom, Christianity, kindness, you know, the
kindness. Like I'm anti-kindness now. I didn't know I was anti-kindness.
Gosh,
I'm not anti-freedom.
Oh man, the cool thing about being anti-kindness is I'm gonna beat the fuck out of any bum that asks me for money. That's awesome. Oh man, I'm gonna be working on my fucking
throwing elbows
clinch.
From the mount for
tie
no reason.
Clinch. I'm working on
right?
That tie clinch. One good knee and you can really take them
That's
out.
It.
You know what I mean?
Nuclear family, whatever. And demonizing them, ridiculing them, turning them into objects of loathing and derision.
Again, he's talking about how he's got the big, bad, sad feels right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's all he's saying. People are making fun of me and I don't like it. When I'm making fun of people, they don't take it the way I want them to take it. If you want a partner to just take it,
yeah.
Find a different partner. There are plenty of people who will be happy to just take it.
And it's very worrying. You know, America was, at least until recently, and I think maybe now with the election of Trump can be again, you know, by far the greatest country in the history of human civilization.
By what measure?
Oh, by
I love that. I
well,
love
by the
that.
Measure, by the measure of that this guy is wealthy and able to speak to a bunch of people who also are very frustrated.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you got me there. Yeah, you got me there.
But it is by no means guaranteed that it will always occupy that position. But it is by no means guaranteed that it is going to continue to occupy that spot unless,
right.
you know, these people are beaten back and put back in their
you
boxes.
You have to fight for it.
You know,
it has to be hard.
A little ridicule.
Eventually it has to be hard.
A little ridicule. Yeah, a little ridicule never hurt anybody. Unless, of course, somebody comes into your speech that you're giving and then blows whistles and you get super mad about it.
Right.
You get super butthurt about it. Well, hey, man, you know, you keep saying, well, all you have to do is just say fuck you and move on. Well, they said fuck you and you didn't move on.
Right. Yeah. Well, he's mad in the beginning of that clip. He's mad that America's become wussified. And that when people on one side get made fun of, or they hear something they don't like, they write a column in the Daily Beast about it instead of just saying "fuck you." And then he ends that sentence with saying, "You can't hardly say anything without being ridiculed anymore."
Yeah,
and it's like, well, wait a minute. What you want is to just scream at people
and then get away with it.
Well,
you can't.
You can't.
So that's going to wrap it up for this week. We don't have an email section because we recorded so late last time. You know, we hope that you had a great Thanksgiving, and we hope that you enjoyed your holiday. We're hoping to have Dan Errol on. Dan Errol's a blogger, and he's on Twitter, and he's been blogging for a while. We're going to have him on to chat, and we're also hoping in early December to have Cara Santamaria on the show as well. So we're looking for a couple of good guests that are coming up, and we hope that that we can also be on David Smalley's broadcastathon coming up. If we didn't get disinvited,
I hear that
with
podcastathon
our last,
is going to be great
with our last little
for podcasting.
Thing. If he can't let us on, maybe he'll at least have his stunt voice on.
There you go.
That can
we'll
talk.
We'll see if she's available.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turns out when you write something called "You Should Kill Yourself," David Smalley doesn't want to read that out loud.
My wife had a problem reading that.
I know. I actually sent her a text message kind of apologizing a little bit, like, I heard you had fun reading that. She's like, I feel a little afraid of you.
Yeah. Well, she was reading it at home, and she was covering her face when she was reading it.
As if she could hide from the words.
Yeah, as if she could just lean back and hide from the words.
Nobody hides.
So that's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to leave you, like we always do, with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information, and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. you're not a techie, not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pair.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.